following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
The title is Oil-Drenched Garments. And we're just going to look at a couple of verses. Psalm 133, Oil-Drenched Garments. I really believe the key, guys, to healing, would you agree, is anointing. So what's the key to anointing? Is there a key to receive anointing? Well, if there's ever a passage that seems to illustrate that, it's Psalm 133. Guys, this is a 3-verse-long psalm, but packed like a zip file. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard," even Aaron's beard, because, you know, he was the high priest of the Old Testament. You can actually find a place there, and I think it was in Exodus, where they anointed him with oil and poured the oil over his head after he had his priestly garments on, and went all the way down to the skirts of his garments. Then he gives one analogy of anointing as oil, then he gives another one. It's as the dew of Hermon. It's the dew that rests upon this mountain, that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now this is a fascinating picture, because there's a condition and a promise. And the promise is anointing. I mean, I really believe there's two types of anointing he's talking about here, I would submit. One is an anointing that has to do with the office. The anointing in the role and the office that you're in. Aaron was a high priest. There's an anointing in the office or the role or the calling of your life. We talk about the resident anointing. And then there's, interestingly enough, he talks about the dew. The dew of Hermon, the dew settles down nightly. It's not like oil. It's, you know, as you know, in the morning the dew rises. It speaks, I think, of a resting anointing. There's a resident and a resting anointing. There are two types of anointing. There's an anointing in your life, a grace, an empowerment in your life having to do with the office you hold in the kingdom of God. Every man that's a husband has an anointing, an office in the kingdom of God, as high priest, as it were, over that family. Every mother has an anointing. Scripture even says she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in godliness. Every mother has an anointing, a childbearing anointing, a child-rearing anointing. Every husband has anointing over the family. It's an office and a role you have. There's a mantle, there's an angelic protection that appointed to you in your office. And then in the kingdom, I've done a lot of teaching on the various callings and offices and roles that we play. And interestingly enough, it's in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Particularly Romans 12 talks about the various giftings and offices, and then Ephesians 4, the prophetic, the evangelical, the pastoral, the teaching. Romans 12 talks about the giftings of liberality and servanthood and these types of things, administration. So I think God has offices and roles, and there's an anointing that goes with it. When you are operating in your calling, there's a fluidity. It works. It's easy to do what you're called to do. My yoke is what? It's not easy to do what somebody else is called to do. It's easy for me to be a pastor teacher because that's the calling in my life. I mean, it's just no big deal. It's the groove is there. It's the anointing and calling in my life. You ask me to go be a prophetic person, I'm going to strive. Unless God shows up and zaps me with a prophetic, which he might once in a while, or an apostolic or of an evangelical. There was a time I had an evangelist anointing, but I wish I had the evangelist anointing. I think the evangelist guy's got it best. He shows up, preaches, signs and wonders, powers, and he's out of town. Takes his offering, and then the pastors are left to deal with all the mess. Right? They got it good. The only thing, a lot of those poor evangelists today that live off of that, it's very difficult. It tends to, unfortunately, a lot that have the evangelical ministry, it tends to be more focused on making a living, which is unfortunate. Because it's not, I think, properly evangelists ought to be sent out from the local church and supported by the local church rather than having to go to local churches and try to hit them up to provide. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I can't tell you how many flyers and emails and things I get from evangelists. They hang them on the door at the church. I got the other day a packet. It was a slick DVD and all that. And it's just somebody out there pushing their deal. Guys, when I see it, I throw it away. I mean, no offense, but when you have to go out there and advertise your deal, it says to me, I believe where God guides, God provides. Now, I'm not saying there isn't an anointing in their life, but something about having to go, I just am grateful to Jesus. I don't want to put myself different than them. I'm grateful I'm not in a position to be tempted to do that. You know, the great, you know, have my picture there, and Chris Simpson, and here's examples of the sign. I mean, give me a break, I want to gag. You know, come out because of the anointing in my life. It's just ego, and to me, Jesus isn't the one that gets the glory. Amen? And there's so much of that today. But first of all, I'm saying, the first anointing, guys, is the, and then the second one is verse 3. He talks about the dew that descend. I believe that is the resting anointing. When we enter a time of ministry, God shows up with power. God shows up with signs and wonders. When we do our part, lay hands on the sick, God shows up. He ain't going to show up unless you close the circuit while laying hands on. And listen, there's going to be a lot of times you're going to do it, nothing's going to happen. I understand that Thomas Edison, what was it? Was it 10,000 times worked on the light bulb? And finally found the exact right filament that would work, and it worked? We've been using it ever since. Till Uncle Sam outlawed it about 3 months ago. Do you know it would be a federal fine to use the light bulb in 5 years? Unbelievable. We're like our country's like the frog in the kettle. Slowly our freedoms are taken away. A federal offense to own a regular filament light bulb in about 2012. Yeah. Your freedoms are slipping away. Someone once said, a country's freedoms slip away. Listen to this. When the people are more concerned are the trains running on time than the political state. And unfortunately, most Christians are politically ignorant. You don't even know they went on. How many of y'all did not know that about the light bulbs? My people perish for lack of knowledge. It's true. It happened about 3 months ago. And our president, I like George Bush, but he got a serious liberal slant, signed that thing. I have a feeling it will be repealed before it comes to pass. Americans will march on Washington with pitchforks, swords, and light bulbs. Out of my dead fingers will you pry my 6,000-watt bulb. You know, there's something wrong with it. Do you think that was our founding fathers intended the government to tell us we couldn't own a bulb? Hello? Well, true, they didn't have it, but the... Somebody said the other day, there is no way Obama will win now. It is absolutely 100% determined there is no way he can win. Absolutely, no way. Because of a statement he made about 2 weeks ago. He said he is against the manufacture, license, and distribution of handguns. That's what he said. And there is no way he will win in America. When he made that statement, all these pundits came out and saying, he ain't going to win. Because when it comes to the general election, Americans, that's one thing they ain't going to give up is their gun. And that man, bless his heart, he's a nice guy. I get the feeling he's a nice guy. But he's not politically astute. You don't say those things. You may want to take the guns away, but you don't say it. You understand what I'm saying? Actually, his honesty's done us a favor. Absolutely. It's done us a favor. Now, it's funny. The pundits across the country saying, he ain't going to win. I don't know if you know, was it Mondale was absolutely routed because he made some inference in that direction? Anyway, whatever. I think I'm getting off my notes here. Now, let me show you something. Look at the blessing. Wait. We're going to look at the blessing in the latter part of verse 3. For there the Lord commanded. Look, I want the Lord to heal. The Lord to command. God's the one to heal. God's the one that heals the cancer. God's the one that does signs and wonders. God does it. There's a condition. And look what it starts with. There's two types of anointing. But look what it starts with. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell even together is the margin in unity. Folks, let me tell you the secret. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Here it is. I'm convinced for that anointing to flow in a local assembly, you've got to be in unity. Now, unfortunately, if you're in unity for unity's sake, it don't work. A lot of ministries are in the unity for unity's sake. And they sacrifice truth. And I was in a ministry like that, where the biggest thing was we all love one another. You know what? But if love is not balanced with truth, it becomes sappy. Or sloppy agape. 1 Corinthians 1:10, look at this. Now beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I love this verse, that you all speak the same thing, there be no divisions among you, you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. That scripture is unity. And when we are in the same mind, the same judgment, the same purpose, the same vision, the same heart, guess what? An anointing. The resident anointings will begin to operate. The resting anointings will begin to flow. And God will command a blessing. But we've got to be in unity. And unity is, that's a very important thing. Scripture says, remember in Matthew 5, if you go to church and you remember you have ought against your brother, leave the gift, go make it right. This thing about forgiving is a big deal to God. This thing about loving your neighbor and going the extra mile and serving one another and being involved in one another's life is big to God. Body life is big to me. Turn to Ephesians 4. This is interesting. Same ties the same principle. Verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbear one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Folks, you got to endeavor, because the devil is going to do everything he can to hack away, to keep us from being bonded in one. You know, it dawned on me one day, the reason our church is not big is because it's deep. I'm going to say that again. The reason it's not large quantitatively is because it's deep qualitatively. There is a depth of relationships here. A deep openness in accountability and vulnerability and scrutiny in this church. That's very, very threatening to people. Most people would prefer a lake, thank you, than to a well. You know, float out on the lake. Wells are deep. You don't know where it's going. We're more like a well than a lake. And that's just what Jesus has done here. It's not because I planned it. Trust me, I was trying to be a lake. I wanted to be a lake. It just so happened I kept doing mass deliverance. And I had this vision of community and being accountable and pastor and in in-depth confrontive pastoral ministry. These are not things conducive to church growth. If you want a big church, you're nice, you're loving, you hug, you bless, you release, you smile. You say, praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord, sister. And you leave them alone. You leave them alone. If they got a big thing, okay, somebody will talk to them. You leave them alone. You come out from the mount. You speak from the stone tablets, the word of God. Then you go back into the mountain. You leave them alone. And you know what happened when Moses left them alone? What did they do? They got into some trouble. Oh, where's he at, man? Nobody party! That's exactly what's going on in most churches. Party! Because the pastor's in the high places. He's not down here rolling up his sleeves dealing with the sinners and the saints. Me, I don't know how to leave it alone. Forgive me. I don't know how. I muck my hands in it. I am integrally involved in everybody's life here, whether you know it or not. If you're here, I'm involved in your life. Isn't that wonderful? Some of y'all want to spit. Like that demon that spoke over the TV show. You heard about that? That's amazing. I hate that man. That is the greatest commendation I've had in the last several years. That really, I feel so honored by that. A demon said through TV, I hate that man. Thank you, Jesus. What a sign and wonder. I'm doing something right. Amen? I hope so. Okay, you ready? This is so cool. You ready? Verse 13. till we all come in the unity of the faith. Look at this. The knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, the measure, the stature, the fullness of God, that we don't be any more children tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie wait to deceive. Right on the margin there, put three letters, TBN. Right there. Verse 14, put in the margin, TBN. Christian TV, spiritual adolescence. I was doing a TV show this week, the second show I did. I don't know what happened, Bo. I just said the heck with it. But I just started railing about the adolescence, the babyhood of most Christians in Houston. There's a scripture in the Psalm says, where is a faithful? Who else? Proverbs 20 says, a faithful man who shall find? Where are you going to find a faithful man? They're hard to find. Where are you going to find the men? It's interesting. God looked over the whole earth and he found one guy, Noah. He found righteous. What's really amazing is for 100 years, Noah preached and not one got saved. You know, I mean, where are the men? Oh, it's interesting revelation. I shared this with Lindy or Jean, I forget, or Dave or somebody this week about Deborah. Remember the prophetess Deborah? And Christian feminists want to say, well, you see, Deborah was a prophetess, therefore women have a right to be an authority over men spiritually. You want to know the truth? If you study the story about Deborah, the reason God anointed Deborah was because there wasn't any men around. And the man that was going to go to battle wouldn't go unless she went. He was a wimp. And there are cases where women become pastors and leaders because the men ain't nowhere around. They're all full of this world, sports and stuff. And they're not matching it for Jesus, so the women become... And you know what? Do you know what Isaiah said about that? Whoo, this going to stir up Jezebel demons. This is a non-Jezebel verse. You ready for this? I got to share this one up in Hot Springs. I had some Jezzy run up. I mean, she ran up at the end. And Norman got between her and I and protected me. He did. The apostle. Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of paths. It's a curse for a woman to rule over a man. I was thinking about that on the way over here. God, why did you create Eve from a rib? I mean, all of the animals he created from the dust. Did you notice that? All of the animals, Adam, he created them all from the dust. Is that right? It seems. The only creature not created from the dust was you, ladies. And I was thinking about, why a rib? But there was something about... The woman was from the man. And it's established because the fall came and there was an order set. Prior to the fall, that wasn't the case, guys. And Paul develops it clearly in Corinthians that a woman in this dispensation is to be under the authority of a man, even as the man is under the authority of the Lord and the appointed authorities in the Lord. But when a woman rules over a man, something is dysfunctional in confusion, and it creates Jezebels and Ahabs. But most cases, the reason it is because of the man. Because in women's defense, I don't think most women want to be in authority, even when they are. They really don't want to be. Something in them knows it's not right. But they look around, there's no man. Somebody's got to do it. Right? And I think that's why God allowed Deborah to be an authority. There's an anomaly, you know, in the scripture. So let's bring this down to Psalm 133. David, you don't know it, but you said something at the end of the worship that tied in with what the Holy Ghost had just been speaking to me as I was getting this sermon during the worship. I want you to see this. I developed the premise of 133, that there is a resting and a resident anointing. It's in the anointing that God commands a blessing. The condition is the unity. God is big into unity. But I want you to see something here that may not be apparent right from the beginning, because the latter part of verse 3 says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, how does the anointing work its way practically to affect deliverance, affect healing, affect signs and wonders? It has to do with a command. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. And I would submit the way the Lord commands a blessing is he speaks his word. He speaks from the heavens. It's called a rhema word. It's a living word. And when we speak what we hear, we command blessings. We are part of the process of commanding a blessing. That it's the anointing in our life. We can speak. And that's what spoke to me when that brother got up last week in the pulpit and he said, there are people here with degenerative bone disease. Get up now. About 3 seconds later, he says, as you're getting up, many are being healed. Come on down now and give testimony. And they were running down, instantly healed. And went, whoa. It's because he heard the rhema, he boldly spoke it, and God's angels healed people, and they were instantly healed, boldly proclaiming truth. Amen? And the problem is, because of our distractions, we're not in unity. We have other priorities. We're not focused. We're not operating in the flow of the anointing, the oil-drenched garments. By the way, did you notice it goes all the way to the hem of the garment? What is it the woman touched on Jesus? Then what happens is God gives you the rhema and we miss it. We're afraid. And that's why I was saying earlier, I want to teach you about faith, because faith is to speak out what you hear. It's not having to do with being good. And that ought to make a lot of us happy. Amen? Because a lot of us, even if we've been good, we're all proud about it. Right? Man, I had a good week. I did not fall in my easily besetting sin. Amen? And the demons affirm you for your holiness. You are holy. The angels even now are bowing around you. Folks, I'm telling you, Satan will hit you one way and back out the other. But when you understand grace and the blood, it ain't undoing me. You know what the stakes of the tabernacle were made of? I hate to say this word. Shittim wood. I said fast. I can actually pronounce it, but shittim wood. Okay. Anyway, that's the word. Shittim wood. That's what it was called. It's called that. It's in the Bible. Okay. And it's a type of man. It's appropriate. Amen. Because it was old, worthless wood found in the desert, surrounded with gold. That's what shittim wood was. That's the word of the Bible. Don't edit it. It was old, worthless wood surrounded by gold, and that held down the tabernacle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you feel like a piece of that wood? Yes. Maybe more than a coincidence. I don't know. So what is the solution? Is the Lord commanded. I want you to look here in 1 John 3. Verse 22. Well, actually, verse 19. Well, verse 17. Well, let's go back to Hebrews. No, I'm kidding. 1 John 3, 17. Because this ties it all together. Write that in these notes here. Whosoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need, shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God. My little children, let's not love in word or in tongue, but indeed in truth. There's the unity. Right? Love, give, serve, be involved in one another's life. I really appreciate people's willingness and participation in the outreach ministry in many ways, and willingness to serve one another in this body. We have one of those coming up this weekend. Verse 19. Hereby we know we're of the truth, and persuade our hearts. Now listen, the NIV reads, we know where the truth and how he set our hearts at rest in his presence. For if our heart condemns us, the Greek word is kataganisko, and it means knows something against us. God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, If our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. You know what those verses are saying? Quit beating yourself up. We have confidence before God because your heart is always going to know something against you. It's going to condemn you. It's going to judge you. The demons are going to beat you up. If you're living from the dictates of the soul and what you know, you're going to get beat to pieces because you ain't good enough. He said, but our confidence is Him. And He set our hearts, the Greek in verse 19 is, He set our hearts at rest in His presence. We're in His presence. We're seated with Him in the heavenly places because of the blood of the Lamb. Regardless, once you're there, then guess what? Verse 21, you have confidence toward God, and that's when verse 22 works. And verse 22 is the key to healing. Verse 22 is the key to every sign and wonder. Because it reads, whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Folks, it all flows right there. And what is it that's pleasing? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The thing that is pleasing in His sight is not a bunch of doing. It's faith. It's interesting, in John 6, He said, what must we do to work the works of Christ, of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him who He sent. The Jews want to have some kind of, what do we do? This is what you do. Believe on me. And then He went on to say things like, I am the living bread. I am the bread come down from heaven. If you eat of me, you will have eternal life. I am life. Come to me and you will have life. It's not what you do. It's me. And the enemy is constantly trying to hammer us on our behavior. And what the Lord is saying in these verses, you've got to learn to set your heart at peace. And just know you're forgiven. It's just as wrong to not forgive yourself as it is not to forgive your brother. Amen? And guilt is not forgiving yourself. Guilt is trying to somehow, well, and I tell you what, you'll never pedal fast enough. It ain't going to happen. Just get off the guilt train. Forgive yourself, get under the blood, kick the devil in the face, thank the Lord Jesus Christ, repent utterly, give no occasion for lust of the flesh, give no occasion to sin, repent utterly, turn 100% to Jesus, forget it, press to the mark, and the anointing is right there. It's as if justified, it's as if you were never sinned. And that can all occur within 3 seconds, 3 minutes. Can I amen? And there the Lord commands a blessing. And, you know, as you guys go to pray for that individual, you know, you don't. The good news, you don't have to strive. Because I can promise you, I was doing a teaching at the Deliverance Conference last week. I did a thing on supernatural healing. I'll tell you what happened there. It was so cool, that lady. Yeah, it was amazing. But I did one on supernatural healing, and I shared that you're going to get attacked before, during, and after. Before you go to pray for somebody, everything, you're going to flat tire, you're going to get distracted, you're mad at fighting the people around you. During it, you're distracted. You feel like you're worthless. There's no anointing. Afterwards, either they're going to puff you up because you're the great Elijah, or they're going to beat you up because it didn't work. Folks, it's warfare. Just go in there. Faith works by love. Just don't go in there to be some great. You say, Lord Jesus, I pray that your mercy would come and heal the cancer. And if you don't heal, well, do whatever you're going to do. Because I really believe God always does one of three things when we lay hands on the sick. Always. He either heals, or He begins to heal, or He will reveal the hindrance to heal. One of those three things. Because it's His will to heal. He'll heal instantly, He'll begin the process, or He'll reveal through the word of knowledge what the problem is. It may be a curse, maybe a demon, maybe unforgiveness, you understand? Just a hindrance to heal. So we go with that awareness and say, Lord, come. I expect you to come and do something. Because I'm going to do my part. I'm closing the circuit. You come with your power. And I submit when you move in the resting anointing and you can command the blessing. And it's interesting that Jesus at times commanded healing. Sometimes He made requests and petition. But there are sometimes He just commanded. Lazarus! Come out! Man, that was command. Oh, Lazarus, you busy in there? Would you come on out? No. Come out. In fact, somebody said the reason He called him by name is had He just said, come out, they would all come out. The Son of God calling the dead, they would all. So He had to distinguish. No, the rest of y'all, I'll call you later on the resurrection. But today, Lazarus, you get to come out first. Amen. How many of y'all want oil-drenched garments? Let's all stand. Let's pray. Lord, I want you to pray this, that the Lord would come and deal with whatever it is in your heart that would keep you from the simplicity of his anointing. Remember, guys, there's three things in that passage. If there's any way in which you're out of fellowship, you're counter, you're resistant, you're independent or privacious, you're not wanting to be a member of the body, members one of another, ask the Lord to forgive you. Break your pride. Ask the Lord to reorient your priorities so you can spend time with one another, loving, becoming members of the body. Body life is the key, guys, to growth in Christ. I know that. I lived in deep community for almost a dozen years. The second thing, if you failed or you're failing or not coming into the anointing of the office that God's called you, or you're not fulfilling your stewardship, ask the Lord to forgive you. Being irresponsible leader, being an adolescent, childish regarding things of this world. The Bible says, when I was a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Lord wants you to grow up so he can use you for his kingdom. The days are short, the days are evil. The third thing is, if the Lord has provided opportunities for you to go and be where the resting anointing can come, laying hands, reaching out, being willing to be embarrassed, being willing to stand up and pray when others may watch. Jesus said, don't deny me before men. Otherwise, I will deny my intercession for you before my Father. Just ask Jesus to forgive you tonight. Lord, we want to be available to you, Jesus, this week to walk responsibly, to love our neighbor, to walk in the stewardship and the authority that you've given us as sons and daughters of God. And most of all, to be available to get out of our comfort zone, to pray and minister to the hurting and needy, Jesus. Lord, I am been provoked to jealousy by the move of God in many ministries today in this country of ours. The days are dark. The evangelical world is being increasingly deceived. By the way, did y'all hear today about the largest church in the United States? It now has 2 million people. It's the church of Oprah Winfrey. I'm serious. She has a church, and it's basically on television or online, and she is pure, 100% New Age. Weird New Age. And that woman is rushing millions to hell. What's sad is there are not evangelical leaders standing up against the blatant occultic New Age at Oprah Winfrey. And 2 million people now apparently are regularly, you know, adherents to her church. She's become like a priestess. Right up under the nose of Americans. Millions are going to hell because of that woman. She's a Baptist girl that got bitter. She raised Baptist, got bitter against God, and could not believe that God could be, and just judge God, and so she's gone off her own way. God, have mercy. Amen? Yeah. Antichrist spirit over that woman. Have mercy on that woman's soul, Lord. She knew you once. Being used as Satan, a powerful territorial spirit over her. Have mercy on her soul, Lord Jesus. Have mercy on the millions and millions of naive, and have mercy on the pastors, the preachers, who these women churches go to, and they're not saying anything about the occultic New Age rushing on of the Antichrist in these latter days. The apostasy of the reprobate church today, Lord. Lord, come now. I pray, Lord, come. We want to learn to command the blessing. Come, Holy Ghost. I take the powers of the enemy. I take the spirits of the enemy over our life in the name of Jesus. Now come, let's just receive from the Lord. Come, Holy Ghost, invite him now. Come, Lord, come. Every heart that's open, come and minister. Come and bring
what you have for us. We receive from you. Come whatever, Lord. A fresh touch, Lord. A fresh word. A commanded blessing, O Lord. A release of anointing and power and empowerment, Jesus. And boldness. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Lord. Receive from the Lord. Receive. Receive whatever the Lord has for you today. I long for the day, Lord, the rhema word would flow in this place. The hurting and needy and desperate and wounded and ill and diseased and bedridden and terminal would come to this place, and the word of rhema would come, and they would be healed, O Jesus. And Jesus would get the glory. Lord, shatali andaramokundadim. Jesus. Jesus. Come up here, Thomas. You got oil. Keep standing. You said they diagnosed it as cancer. When did they diagnose that? What is a skin cancer? What is there? Have they removed it all? So it's all been removed. Are they saying that things are going to look good for you? Do they think it's going to come back or what? Hopefully not. Okay. So they have to go through chemo or anything like that? He had a growth here, and it was malignant. So I'd like you to point your hand forward. Who has been healed by cancer here? Anybody been healed by cancer in this room? Anyone here experienced healing of cancer? You have? No, were you healed? Not claiming it. Were you genuinely healed? Okay. Put your hand on it. Great. I hear you. Now, who's been healed by anything malignant or terminal? Okay, we're going to have to work on that, man. It's all right. We got to start somewhere, right? Because, you know, if you've been healed by it, you got a level of faith. Okay, here. Who's been healed by anything? I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel here. You've been any kind of healing? All right, that'll work. Stretch your hand for it. Jesus. We lay hands on the sick. We bless this young man, Lord. And when you said we could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Lord, he had cancer here, malignant, and they've cut it out. And we just pray mercy, Jesus, that you would heal and go down to the very roots, Father, and bring an anointing, and we could curse this thing. It would not come back. And whatever brought it on, in the name of the Lord, I pray for an anointing to curse it right now. In the name of Jesus, I curse the seed. I curse that seed. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That kernel, that nut, that seed, I curse it and break its power in the name of Jesus. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I curse that cancer. You will not come back. We declare it in the Spirit. Father, we pray to restore this young man. With strength him, Lord, and heal him. We break the curse of cancer over his life. Cancer curse, generational curses. We break its power in Jesus' name. Jesus. How many of y'all have cancer in your family line? There's cancer in your family line. Come on up to the front. I just heard the Holy Ghost whisper something to me. This is cool. You start working and I can hear him. Good Lord. Y'all have cancer in your family line? Well, I do because it's different. I think if it was purely because of smoking, I don't see that as the same thing. Because when I know my dad had cancer, but it was because of 40 years of smoking, which is not exactly kind of a generational line thing. Who doesn't have cancer in their family life, for crying out loud? Yeah, but you came down with it. So y'all all have, where is this? In your granddad, your grand, where? I mean, going up. I'm talking about going up. Mom's, dad, grandparents. Bo? Would you hand me that thing of water, please? Your great-great-grandfather? Well, that was the last time. That's good. Is that four generations? How about over here? Bill, you got it? Huh? What kind? Okay. Wendy, you have cancer in your family line? Good Lord. Okay, we got about seven people out there that don't have it. You don't have it in your family line? I don't either. That's in your family line. It's up to you, dude. I'm fixing to pray an anointing and break it. It would behoove you to grab it when the fruit is hanging low. Amen? There. I blew the horn. It's taken a long time to learn how to do that. Okay, we're going to break this thing in Jesus' name. Man, jeez. How many of y'all suffer with fear of cancer? Come on, be honest. Sometimes it hits you, you fear of cancer. It's understandable if it's in your family line. Right? How many of y'all have a voice coming to you sometimes say, you got cancer, you're going to get cancer, you're going to die? We broke that. Well, I just heard it here tonight, particularly in the guise of the word that was given, that the Lord quickened to me, and where we're going as a body. You know, if we're going to pray for cancer people to be healed, we got to have that curse broken off of us. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord, I thank you that you got a lot of angels, a lot of people up here, but you got more angels than people. So, Father, right now, I ask in your mercy that you would send an angel of the Lord in this house, because we're asking in your mercy, Jesus, but now I believe we're in unity best we can because of the blood we're trying. We're trying to operate in the office of anointing. We trust in the resting anointing. We just need to command. We need that rhema word, Lord. So I ask that you'd send angels in the room, and I pray that each angel would have a big drawn sword, and written on that sword would be the words, cancer free. I pray you'd bring out cancer-free swords, and that those angels would drive that sword in the spirit world into the heart of the seed of the generational curse of the cancer, Lord. Wherever that latent curse is resident in any of these people's lives, generationally, sitting, waiting, crouching at the door, I pray that the angel of the Lord would drive the cancer-free sword and peak its power tonight in the name of Jesus. So come, Holy Ghost. Let's just begin to worship the Lord. Come on, worship Him and give Him thanks and tell Jesus how you want to be free. Tell Jesus how you want to be free. Tell Jesus. Look, He took infirmities on His body. He died. He died. He suffered horribly to heal our bodies. Tell Him. Cry out to Jesus tonight. Bosh ti katalaban. Hati katalaban dalaman. Hati katalaban dalaman. Jesus. 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 We need power. We need Holy Ghost power. We need signs and wonders to break this curse over us in the name of Jesus. I just ask you right now as I'm speaking, because of the blood of Jesus, the angel of the Lord plunge the sword of cancer free into those seeds, into the roots, into the generational curses. I break its power. I break its power. I break its power. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I sever it. I break the generational curse from the mother and the father, grandfather, grandmother on mom and dad's side, great grandmother, great grandfather on mom and dad's side, great great grandfather, great great grandmother on mom and dad's side. 4, 5 generations. I break its power. I break that cancer, and I command the spirit of cancer to go. I command you now. Hand you to leave. Take your power in the name of Jesus. And over me too, I take its authority. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, shatakatanamakandana. Give thanks to the Lord. Come on, thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, leila shandalamakandalaman. Handalamakandalamas. Jesus. Jesus. Haiti andolo shat. Haiti ki andalaman. And Lord, we pray for those in our body that are not here. The different ones that are not here that are part of our family that have the same problem. We pray right now that same anointing wherever they are. If I'm not called under the covering of this church, I speak, I command the same blessing. I break the curses off of them. Everyone in the name of Jesus under the covering of this work, I break that curse. Name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be done, O Lord. Father, I pray, seal us up, O Father. Let the drenched oil go all over the garments, all over every member, the arms and the legs of the body of Christ, heads and the feet. Father, come, Lord. Drench us with oil tonight. Jesus.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.